Accountability is God's job. But it's not solely God's job. No, it's our job too. We will be the plan. We are never going to give up. When the truth is known to the entire world, we are going to have extreme accountability.
Good evening and welcome to an extremely special edition of the Stu Peters Show, because our next guest is, without exaggeration, one of the most important geopolitical thinkers on the entire planet. But if you're a regular American, you may have never heard of him at all. That's what it's like living under the empire of lies. Dr. Alexander Dugin is a Russian philosopher. He's a speaker. He's an academic. He began his life opposing the USSR's decrepit communist regime and has since become one of the most vocal Russian nationalists. He's sometimes actually been called Vladimir Putin's brain. He's written about 20 books on philosophy and geopolitics. For decades, Dugin has been warning about the danger of the global American empire, not the American people, not you viewing at home, but the regime in Washington that wants to invade and dominate every country on the planet and infect it with its ideology. And you know what that ideology is. It's the same one that you hate here in America. Globalism, modernism, atheism, open borders, transgenderism, all of the rest. This ideology seeks to enslave all of us in America, and it looks to impose that same slavery abroad. That's why we have military interventions. That's why we're bombing innocent people all over the place. That's why we're funding other countries bombing innocent people, mainly children. Dugin was one of the first to see this reality back in the 90s. He's been warning about it ever since. He's the leading proponent of his own geopolitical ideology of Eurasianism. This is the centerpiece of this ideology. And it's basically saying that all Russian language speakers should be regathered into one country, which will then be strong enough to resist the superpower of the United States. Resisting the superpower of the United States essentially means resisting Satan at this point. In 1997, he wrote this, quote, "In principle, Eurasia and Russia remain the staging area of a new anti-bourgeois, anti-American revolution. The new Eurasian empire will be constructed on the fundamental principle of the common enemy, the rejection of Atlanticism, rejection of strategic control by the United States of America, and the refusal to allow liberal values to dominate us. This common civilizational impulse will be the basis of a political and strategic union." Now, Dugin has been one of the strongest advocates for Russia's war in Ukraine, which he compares to a crusade, accurately. He says it's not about Russia versus Ukraine, or even Russia against America. No, it is, in his words, about humanity versus hegemony. How much does the globalist American regime fear Dugin? Well, last year in Moscow, a car bomb attack planted by secret operatives killed his daughter, Daria. It's almost certain that the bomb was meant to kill Alexander himself as well. And Dugin isn't a member of the Russian military. You might think that he's some high-ranking military official. That's not true. He doesn't hold any position in Vladimir Putin's government. He's an academic and an ideologue. He was targeted for murder because of what he has to say. Well, needless to say, anyone who's marked for death by our regime for his words alone is someone that we are interested in speaking with. But that's not the only reason that we want to talk to him today. Dugin has a lot to say about this new war unfolding in the Middle East. He's developed a detailed vision for how this conflict in Gaza could explode into a full-blown war involving not just Israel and Palestine, but also Iran and Syria and Saudi Arabia, Turkey, even nuclear-armed Pakistan. But it wouldn't stop there. No, if the war escalates, Dugin believes we'll eventually see Muslims in Europe revolt and begin a civil war. We'll see China invade Taiwan. We'll eventually see the use of nuclear weapons. Could be the end of the world, or just the end of a United States dominated one. Well, Dugin has generously agreed to an interview with us, and I'm honored to have him. He joins us now. Sir, thank you so much for being here. Your time is extremely valued, and we appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, of course. So first of all, I want to issue our greatest sympathy for the loss of your daughter. I mean, it's absolutely horrific. Do you believe that that attack was targeted at you as well?
It seems so. We could never know. for sure. But in spite that my daughter was very patriotic and shared absolutely my own vision, but she was known in Russia. She was very brilliant, very beautiful, and she was a rising star. But I sincerely cannot imagine that she deserved to be killed by what she has done. And it seems, according to the inquiry in Russia, that the enemy wanted to kill myself, to kill me. And now there are some reports in global press, including in United States and Washington Post, New York Times, that CIA knew that the Ukraine terrorists wanted to kill myself for my position. And they now they say, the Americans say, they were against that. But who knows what is done behind the curtain of the special services. Nobody knows for sure. So it is obvious that Ukrainians accomplished this horrible act against innocent young girl or against myself. You're absolutely right. I have no position in Putin's Russia, no official position. I have academic position. I have published much more than 20 books, I think, they are translated into the English. But I have written more than 70 books in different languages, in Russian, first of all, but they are translated in many other languages. So maybe at the same time, I have no position in Putin's government. I agree and I support the reunification with Crimea, with Eastern Ukrainian territories, but I never influenced in no way the Putin's decision to start special military operation. So from all logical, reasonable level to kill someone, or worse than that, to kill someone's daughter in front of the eyes of the father, it is serious crime, I think, against the thought. Because, for example, I was presented in Amsterdam speaking with Bernard-Henri Lévy, exchanging very opposite views concerning world politics, philosophy, metaphysics, global trends, so the process and the change of the world order. That is, it is how you normally should treat the people with opposite view. So that is confrontation of the ideas. For example, Bernard-Henri Lévy invited to kill Turks in favor of Kurds, to kill Taliban in favor of some group in Afghanistan, to kill Assad in favor of rebels in Syria. So, but no one, not in Russia, for example, or in other countries, has idea to kill him for his words. And that is something, I think, that exceeds the laws of relations between societies. I never participated in the military operations, nowhere, neither in Georgia nor in Ukraine. I can have my geopolitical, philosophical, metaphysical, historical views, and I can stand for them. I can defend them. I could receive the theoretical blows and polemics and so on. I was totally canceled from any platform, from Amazon, from Facebook, from Google, from YouTube. The globalists destroyed, they have canceled all my accounts. Now only in Twitter and new platform x.com, Elon Musk has changed that. He has returned my account in x.com. But before that, I was totally banished from any kind of access to the public. And anybody in academical milieu who tried to explore my views was threatened not to do it, because I was considered to, and I am still considered to be very dangerous, and that I could understand. But if you start to kill the people for the things they think, for that, I think that is totally new rule in dealing with philosophers, with thinkers, and I think that is not only Ukrainian initiative, because I was appointed a kind of target by all these lies directed against myself, that I am brain of Putin, that I'm his advisor, that I advise to him to invade Ukraine, to make reunification with Crimea, and all the other things. I am just the thinker. Maybe in many, I support Putin. I could not deny it. I think that we are on the same wave of the historic being of our civilization, but that is coincidence of the positions of vision and not direct influence. So I think that is the assassination of my daughter that I profoundly loved and love now. It was something that transcends any kind of measure. The ancient Greeks called that hubris. Hubris, that is Greek word. What when you exceed all kinds of measures, all limits, so that you are making something that is beyond any kind of human behavior. So you violate the norm of polemics, of treating the enemy, and so on. But it is just my clarifications.
Yeah.
We are seeing unprecedented criminal tax hikes, hyperinflation, a full-blown recession, and it's all part of the grand plan. The billions of dollars that Biden keeps sending to that corrupt, fake Ukraine. The trillions in new taxes that he wants to shove down your throat. The electronic banking system crash, resetting everybody to zero. Checking accounts, savings accounts, 401ks, IRAs, all of it. Zero. But you don't have to be a victim. Protect your money and get up to $10,000 in free silver to do it when you call my friends at Goldco. Goldco has helped to protect over $2 billion in gold and silver for people like you and me. And now they're offering you up to $10,000 in bonus silver when opening a qualified IRA account just for being a supporter of the Stu Peters Show. So whether you want to protect your 50 grand or a half a million or even more, this is your opportunity to protect yourself from our out-of-control, corrupt corporate crime syndicate. Don't be a victim. Call Goldco, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD, or go to goldco.com/stu.
For the first time in a millennia, a famine of biblical proportion is hitting the earth, and it's by design. War has created scarcity. Fertilizer production has been wiped out.
The price of fertilizer is up 128%.
Food processing plants are exploding. Herds of cows are being massacred and buried.
This is a very abnormal event.
The Great Reset demons have created the crisis, but a generation of great resistors following King Jesus have the solution.
HeavensHarvest.com. Get there right now.
Prepare for the worst by trusting the best. HeavensHarvest.com has a delicious plan to conquer starvation. It's real food, high quality, tastes great.
It's actually really good.
Trust Heaven's Harvest today. Order food for the year and a bucket of heirloom seeds. Affordable, available, ready for the fight ahead. Heavensharvest.com.
If you are a man over 45 who's dealing with prostate problems, you're certainly not alone. It's a very common issue. But you need to know about this shockingly simple prostate shrinking candy chew hack that you can use to quickly reclaim control of your bladder. A simple morning candy chew hack that allows you to permanently end your prostate issues so you never again deal with humiliating or frustrating urges to go at the worst time. The hack takes only 60 seconds to use, by the way. Thousands of American men have already tried the hack, giving them back their freedom and peace of mind while allowing them to have an easy, high-volume flow every time they go pee. Go to flowforcemax.com/stew. Find out more about the prostate shrinking candy chew hack that has thrown the medical industry off the tracks, allowing men to fix their problems quickly and easily from the comfort of their homes. That's flowforcemax.com/stew. I have often referred to the American global empire, our fake government, as the empire of lies. I've called them a murderous regime. I've talked about them being warmongers. We have on our show exposed the way that we, you know, overthrew via coup d'etat, violent coup d'etat, that this democratically elected administration in 2014. I have said that the State Department and our own Pentagon and the deep state are responsible for this war in Ukraine. And now we're seeing the invasion of Israel. We'll get to that later. We'll get to the conflict in, you know, Israel versus Gaza later. But I'd like to ask you, if you were to say who's responsible for what's happening between Russia and Ukraine, did Vladimir Putin just wake up one day and decide to be some war criminal?
So I think that the situation, we need to put the situation in the context, in the geopolitical context. So there is a kind of classical geopolitical vision exposed in the early writings of Halford John Mackinder, British founder of geopolitics, developed by Nicholas Spickman and brought to the clear explanation by Zbigniew Brzezinski, and accepted of Germans, the German geopoliticians, and somehow by Russian, that classical geopolitics presents the world as the fight between sea power and land power from the beginning of Mackinder's writings. So in that vision, that proves to be something that explains better than anything else the historical development of 20th century, maybe 19th century as well, and the beginning of the 21st century. This classical vision of geopolitics is based on the eternal war of sea power, represented by Anglo-Saxon world, so British Empire, and after that by United States, when United States has abandoned its own concentration on itself, isolationist patriotic politics, and entered the global politics, taking for itself the mission of the British Empire to conquer the world, to install everywhere so-called democratic ideals and realities, that is the name of the second book of Mackinder. So that was classical geopolitics. And if we consider what has happened after the fall of the Soviet Union, when the land power was defeated and somehow was recognized its failure to compete with sea power, after that came so-called unipolar moment. So that was the victory of the sea power over land power. And that was a kind of manifestation of this globalist regime in the West, not only United States, because there are networks, liberal, progressist, so-called liberal democratic networks of global on global level, and they penetrate any society. We had in Russia in the 90s such people. I have met in China, in India, everywhere, in Arab worlds, in Africa. So that was the kind of global system of sea power that has totally won the adversary, the enemy. And that was explained and presented in the book of Francis Fukuyama, The End of the History. The End of the History, it is the end of the war between continents, between sea power and land power, and the triumph and the final and decisive, as Fukuyama insisted, victory of the sea power. And that is precisely unipolar moment, unipolarity, and coming to power, this globalist regime represented in right, in Republican strategy led by neoconservatives, in the case of Bush, or the same neoconservatives and globalists with Bill Clinton, with Obama, or with Biden. So that is the same, exactly the same. And this unipolarism has made manifested this globalist elite, supranational, not American elite. That is not only, we don't speak about American people. The American people is out of the question. The American people has nothing to do with all that. But I think the American politician, American administration, American state has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do, because American state has its own history, its own place. And the last time we have seen American state, that was in Trump's time. So that was America as the state. Mm-hmm. But this American state or has nothing to do with globalist project, because globalist project is not in favor of America. It is in favor of creation of global government,
right, yeah,
and imposing this sea power on all the nations, starting from American people, American nation, European nation. And but what is interesting, that against that, with coming to power of Mr. Putin, began a kind of reaction. And geopolitically speaking, that was revival of the land power of Eurasia. That is why I'm calling my movement, Eurasian movement, the movement of restoration of the sovereignty of continental mass of Eurasia, Russia and people and peoples and countries united with us historically. But interesting that was not restoration of bipolar system as it was seen during classical geopolitical era time. Now new poles appeared. Chinese pole, independent from us, independent from the West. The India, Islamic pole is clearly manifesting itself. African pole, that Africa affirms herself more and more clearly. Latin America, American pole. So, and there is a kind of global confrontation, not between the West and the East, between the United States and Russia, but between unipolarity and emerging multipolarity. Unipolarity, that means the rule of globalist elite in the West, based on the radically left liberal ideology with cultural Marxism as kind of cultural superstructure, based on the rule of global big finance, big pharma, big capital, that is unholy alliance between cultural Marxism and the big monopoly of transnational corporations. That was a kind of one power, and against these global civilization emerged new poles, and that was the reason of the conflict in Ukraine. So Ukraine is not the problem between us and Ukrainians. Ukrainians were used in order to attack us. There was installed artificially Nazi regime with ultra-nationalist attitude, with Russia phobia, and that was used against us in order to stop this creation and affirmation, this emergence of the Russia as new pole. But at the same time, the trade war with China began. And now, in situation in Middle East, in Gaza and Israel, there is the other front of the same confrontation between unipolarity and Islamic pole this time, because Islamic pole is uniting in favor of Palestine, and globalists of the West, they sided uniquely with Israel. So outside of all national interests, so no national interests, American interests are really involved. More than that, during this confrontation between Palestine, between Hamas and Israel, mm-hmm. that American politics in the Middle East is totally abandoned, totally destroyed, totally turned apart. So nothing left of this strategy of pacification of the region. So I think that hatred against Americans in Islamic world has reached the level of unprecedented level, because that is the fight between two world orders, the world order of unipolarity that globalists try desperately to save, to continue to preserve, and the emerging multipolar world order with Russia only one of poles. Russia is not the second, the only opponent of this unipolarity. Russia is one of the other civilizations fighting for reacquiring and defending their sovereignties. So that is how I consider the Russian-Ukrainian confrontation and war, how I consider the confrontation between Palestine, Hamas, and Israel. So it is not just regional conflict. It is something greater, something more important. That is the emergence of two alternative world orders that they are confronting now. And that is nothing, that has nothing to do with America as the state. So if, for example, we consider Trump and Trump's rule, we could imagine easily coming of the multipolarity without wars. So competition, yes. America first, yes. America could be a pole, maybe first, the leading pole of multipolar world, but not, but outside of globalist agenda. So that is totally different. So we have nothing to do against. We have nothing against America as such, and we have nothing against American leadership. We are against this globalist hegemony that is imposed on other civilizations, but these maniacs, by this ultra sectarian group of globalists, they have nothing to do with American values. For example, I have written the book on United States, on American philosophy. I admire, to say the truth, pragmatism. But politics of the globalist has nothing to do with American traditions, neither philosophical nor political nor social. So they are, because in the United States, never there was a kind of ideology. Ideology was absent. So everybody was consider to be free to promote their own vision, their own regrouping of the people, thinking this way, no obligatory dogma. And now, with cancel culture, with this imposed LGBT and feminist so-called values, so everybody is obliged to follow this agenda. So that is some completely anti-American.
They're forced to. Yeah, I mean, you either go along with it, or you're going to be crucified in one way or another. And it's funny that you mentioned globalism versus nationalism. This is something that we've been observing, you know, from afar. But from where we sit, Mr. Dugin, it appears, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I know that you're not an official with Vladimir Putin's government, but from where we sit and what we see happening in this world, and you mentioned the global elites, and you mentioned this control structure and this one world governance, it appears to us here that Vladimir Putin, and I've been called all kinds of names for this, may be one of the only men on the face of the planet standing between what's left of this free world and whatever this one world governance is that's rapidly approaching. Do you agree with that assessment?
So maybe I agree. I generally agree. But I think in many, many ways, he is doing like that in spite of himself. So when he came to power, he was really willing to integrate Russia in the greater Europe from Lisbon to Vladivostok. He wanted to make alliance against Islamic terrorism with United States, with Bush. So he was ready to be part of the global structure. He had nothing against the West, but he wanted Russia participating in this concert of the states of the West, of the Western as well and other states, conserving and reaffirming Russian sovereignty. He is realist in international relations, and little by little hurting against confronting with the globalist agenda that had and has nothing to do with real realist interests of Western nations. He was obliged to make a challenge to global system. He want to be part of the global system under one condition: to conserve Russian sovereignty and possibility to act freely on the global scale.
So he put the interests of the Russian people above the interests of anybody else, is what you're saying. He's a Russian
absolutely
nationalist. And he's an Orthodox Christian, and he favors his country and puts his country first. That's what you're basically saying.
Absolutely. But that is normal for any country. That is normal for American strategy. That is
But it's not normal for the America of today. All due respect, Mr. Dugin.
Yes,
the America of today will sell its people right down the river and murder them and kill them and then go bomb, you know, foreign countries that mean nothing to our national security or sovereignty, kill millions of people, spend trillions of dollars. There's a global force behind this. Who is it?
Exactly. But Putin came to this position to fight for sovereignty of Russia against this attack, assault.
Yes.
Of globalists, in spite of himself. He was very peaceful. He was very tolerant. He was very pro-Western in the beginning, and that is not my case. I always suspected that the globalist regime on the top of the West would go. That's exactly the way it went. So I have seen that from the beginning. And Putin has arrived to the same, more or less the same position by his experience, by the experience of the head of the state. And step by step, he was put in the position of, and here I agree totally with you, of defender of the principle of the realism, of the national interest, of the sovereignty, of the plurality of the systems of values. So that is precisely democracy on the global level. It is not a totalitarian, ideological, imposing, prescriptive democracy. That is old good democracy. We don't share with you your values, but we accept them because
democracy is dangerous, it turns out. We've been spreading democracy, as you know, Mr. Dugan, all over the place for decades. We spread democracy in Iraq.
We spread democracy
in Afghanistan. We spread it in Libya and in Syria. What did that equate to? We killed millions of people.
Everybody knows that eating fruits and vegetables is really important. If you don't want to be a fat, obese slob, if you want to have the energy that you need, get the antioxidants and the minerals that you need, yeah, fruits and vegetables. Any good doctor will tell you 6 cups of each every single day. Who in the hell has time for that? Cut up 6 heads of broccoli or cauliflower. What do I eat? Brussels sprouts, cucumbers. What are the best for me? How about the sugars and the fruits? Do these have the antioxidants and all the properties that I need, or are they just overloading me with sugar? This is why I use Field of Greens. Go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code STEW. 1 scoop, all your fruits and vegetables, 6 cups every single day of fruits and vegetables. It's organic stuff. It's real stuff. It's not some fake mRNA crap from China. It's not going to hurt you. Fieldofgreens.com. What I noticed right away, how clear my skin got within a week. Almost immediately felt the energy boost. The energy boost is awesome. You get up in the morning, you take your Field of Greens. You know that all the rest of the day you're taken care of. Go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code STEW again. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code STEW. We'll be right back. Filtersuck.com is the leading manufacturer in filterless air purification systems, whether you're dealing with pollen or mold or dust, shedding from your pet, or vaccinated neighbors' mRNA spike protein shedding. Filtersuck.com has solutions for every scenario, at home, at work, or on the go. Breathe with confidence. Don't let your air suck. Rest well knowing that your home is protected 24/7, so now you can get a unit for your home or a portable unit for on-the-go travel. That's filtersuck.com. Use promo code STEW for 10% off when you go to filtersuck.com. So I've got some thrilling news to share with you. The Bioptimizer's Black Friday mega sale is in full swing, and guess what? It's not just a one-day thing. It's happening throughout the entire month of November. Now, you already know that I have unwavering trust in Bioptimizers. These guys are the real deal when it comes to improving digestion, and let's not forget about their top-of-the-line magnesium. It's truly the best on the market. Plus, they back up their products with a rock-solid 365-day money-back guarantee, no questions asked. You won't find a better Black Friday deal anywhere else, and not even on the mighty Amazon. Biggest discount that you can get and amazing gifts with purchase are available only on my page, bioptimizers.com/StuPeters with a code StuPeters. We all have those never-ending Black Friday wish lists, but this year, I challenge you to put your health at the top of that list. Why wait? Choose health over unnecessary things this Black Friday. Head over to bioptimizers.com/StuPeters. Use promo code StuPeters at checkout. Remember, it's bioptimizers.com/StuPeters with code StuPeters at checkout.
That is new understanding of liberalism as well. For example, the old liberals, they saw that you are free to be or whoever you want. But now, new liberalism, new democracy consists in the completely different attitude. You are free to be liberal. Like us, exactly. You are not free not to be liberal, and you are not free to be liberal in some different aspects, in some different way than us. So that is pure totalitarianism. That is not democracy in any historical meaning. That is new kind of totalitarian attitude, and that is called democracy still or liberalism, and they pretend to fight against authoritarian or totalitarian regimes being themselves radically totalitarian. That is a kind of Orwellian paradox. And everybody expected totalitarian system from socialism and nationalism, and that was the case historically. But liberalism was exempt from that. And now something paradoxical is happening. So the liberalism is, globalist liberalism is more totalitarian than any other political situation. And Putin stays against that, stands against against that. And Putin tries to preserve regional, if you want, traditional values, regional interest of Russia against global globalist agenda. In that sense, Putin is leading figure, an example type to imitate to other emerging leader of all other poles. So that is the foundation of the friendship with Xi Jinping, the leader of China, the Modi, the leader of India, and the leaders of Islamic world. So Putin is a kind of example to follow to all the leaders of the world that try to save the sovereignty, the plurality, the real democracy. And I think that in that sense, when they compared Trump and Putin, being totally different politically, ideologically, by their history, historical and economical background, but they had some, and they have some common features. They are so realists.
Yeah. I mean, aside from, you know, Donald Trump forcing vaccines on people or suggesting that people get them, responsible for killing people, warp speed, I agree with you in your analysis. I think that both of these presidents, both of these leaders care about their countries. But it was interesting to me to hear you say, when you were talking about Xi Jinping and the Ayatollah and Vladimir Putin, in the West, if you believe in that construct, our media, Rothschild, Vanguard, BlackRock controlled media, everybody that's viewing this program has been led to believe, propagandized, programmed into believing that Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin and Iran are the bad guys, and that we are at war with these countries because these countries are adversarial to us and they want to kill us. Meanwhile, our own government has been responsible for killing us internally for all of these years. And so when you step back and watch what happened with the original confrontation in Ukraine, and I will just tell you, just candidly, I got some phone calls from some people that were on major broadcast news networks after I observed what was happening between Russia and Ukraine originally. And I said these things. I said, these are arbitrary borders that were established after Vladimir Lenin's color revolution. Most of the people in Ukraine, or at least more than half of them, are actually ethnic Russians that would just prefer to be Russia. And so what you have here is the United States military-industrial complex, a murderous regime, breaking its promise by expanding NATO, a force designed for one purpose only, which is to fight Russia, continuing to break that promise, renege on that promise, and then put pressure on the Russian people and Vladimir Putin, who is the protector of his people. Is that an accurate assessment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Ukraine as a united nation or state never existed. So the parts of these territories were under Polish government, the other part were under Austrian government, and the major part was the part of Russia, historical Russia. And unification of Ukraine was a kind of purely administrative decision that was not based on the historical heritage, linguistic unity, cultural unity. That was totally purely administrative decision to unite the different part with different group of population, with the majority of Russian speaking and considering themselves to be the part of Russian people. That was the part of Russia.
So these ethnic Russians that were in Ukraine, Vladimir Putin actually sent aid to them, transport options to them. Most of those people that were trying to flee Ukraine at the beginning of this conflict have now ended up in mass graves in the Donbass. Who's responsible for that?
it is obvious that all that was provocation from the globalists, not from the Americans, not from the Europeans, from globalists, because that is the kind of the geopolitical effort to save unipolarity at any price. Because
can we just get down to brass tacks, Mr. Dugin? Who are the globalists that you're speaking of? Can you name names?
So, for myself, for example, the clear example of globalists, they are the people from CFR, Council on Foreign Relations. Historically, that from the end of the First World War, that was the idea to transmit the globalist vision of British Empire to the Americans, and the Council on Foreign Relations was created then, after the end of the First World War by Wilson. And Wilsonian politics was precisely beginning of this globalist turn of United States of America. And that was inside American establishment, making more and more and more power with the global elite, with the transnational corporations, and in the end of the 70s, in the 80s, the Trotskyists from far left groups entered in the American politics, in the Democratic Party, and after that in the Republican Party, and they are known now as neoconservatives. That was the second pillar of the globalism. So two organization, if you want, two clubs in United States, the older CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, cooperation of the globalists. They wanted to make America global. And but Buchanan has said once, we Americans have won the world, but we have lost ourselves. That is very correct description of the situation. So thanks to this globalist, the America was abandoned in favor of the chimeric dream of the global rule. So global democracy, one world government, that was a kind of plan. And now in the manuals of international relations, you can easily read the plans of global governments. It is not conspiracy theory. It is the part of the normal manuals of international relations, and that has a name: liberalism in international relations. That is a school of liberals in international relations, and that is a kind of ideology, that is a kind of international progressist ideology, basing on the transnationalist corporation, the richest families that rule global finance, and corporate organization, and the second pillar is this neoconservative. They coincide with their will to global dominance, and they coincide in their transcendency regarding America as a state, America as a nation, America as the society. They transform all the world in something totally new. So traditional relations between the sexes, between the genders, male, female, that was normal for all culture, liberal.
Yeah, so speak to that. I mean, you're a highly regarded, very well-celebrated author and tremendous thinker. This is where I become a little perplexed, and this is why, Mr. Dugin, sometimes it's frustrating to be in a position as a host or to try to show people, you know, things that they're missing. And I guess my biggest conundrum here is this. We have a population in our country, in the United States, where, and probably across the face of the planet, where there are conservative-minded Christians who are flying Ukrainian flags in their front yards. They are gladly sending donations to NGOs and nonprofits to send aid to Ukraine. They know nothing about this country other than what Fox News has told them, or CNN or MSNBC or the New York Times or the Washington Post. They know nothing about Ukraine. They know nothing about Vladimir Zelensky. How many wives does he have in his name this week? I mean, even his name is fake. This guy's been installed. There is neo-Nazi war criminals gunning down innocent people, killing dogs and anything with a pulse that tries to flee. But there's a total disregard for any of this. And Americans, largely blindly, will just follow these military interventions. We are convinced as a people, not me, generally speaking, we must defend Ukraine against the boogeyman, Vladimir Putin, and against evil Russia. We must defend Israel, our greatest ally, against, you know, Hamas or the Palestinians, and then advocate for and support the carpet bombing of innocent children inside of Gaza and now the Strip. We just bombed Syria the other day. We're getting ready to posture towards China to defend Taiwan, another country that matters not to the national security or the sovereignty or the prosperity of the American people. People around their dinner tables here, Mr. Dugan, don't give a damn, quite frankly, about what happens in Taiwan or in Ukraine or in Israel,
Gaza.
So why are these people so easily influenced? How does that take place? What kind of psychological operations, in your opinion, are running on a global scale in lockstep with world leaders? And that includes, by the way, throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, the genetic sequence, biowarfare, gain of function virus that was intentionally deployed on a global population. By the way, as noted by a top biowarfare general, Kirillov, for Vladimir Putin's government, he actually cited my program and showed the data about the weapons of biowarfare, the pegylated lipid nanoparticles encapsulated in hydrogel that were forced on billions of people across the planet, where it's my opinion that if these billions of people knew what they did to themselves, there'd be no safe place for the people who perpetuated this evil to hide. What kind of global lockstep governance has taken place here, and who is at the top of it? Who's responsible for dictating to so-called leaders of sovereign countries across the planet that this is the narrative they're going to follow, this is what the media is going to say, and whoever is a dissenting voice against it will be jailed or killed? Who's responsible for this?
Well, that, in order to answer this very, very large question, we need to make a kind of inquiry in the genealogy of the modern society, modern world. We should understand that the modernity, the modern age, began with anti-Christian revolution in the science, with materialism in science, in the natural science and the human science, political science. That was a kind of great rebellion of Western Europe against tradition, against the church, against Middle Ages, against established dogma and rules. And there was the origin of the modern nihilism. Modern nihilism that pretended to create, to build, to establish the new kind of culture, of society, of political system, of science, on the negation, total denial of any being to the Christian norms. That started with the Protestant reforms, and after that was secularization of Protestantism itself, as Max Weber shows in his books, and that was the progressism and materialism, atheism, secularization. They led step by step affirmation of liberal ideology. What is liberal ideology? Liberal ideology, that is idea to free, to liberate individual from any kind of collective identity, starting with the church, state, nation, and now with gender and human being as such, because to be human is collective identity. That is a kind of ideology. And this kind of ideology of progressism based from the beginning of the modernity, from the 16th century, maybe earlier than that, that was based on the rejection, refuse of the Christian values, of Christian tradition. Current tradition based on the evangel, on the Bible, on the sacralization of the state, of the rule, of the estates, of the families, and so on and so on. So that was the progress. And there were two branches of this progressism. First of all, liberal one, and the second, a communist. And after the end of the communist time, the only progressism we have is liberal progressism. So the idea to finish this agenda, this mission to liberate the human being or individual, to liberate individual from any kind of collective identity, that is a hidden ideology of the Western modernity.
Is Vladimir Putin rejecting that ideology?
Yes. Now,
okay.
Yes.
So when did he kick the Rothschilds' criminal central banking cabal out of his country and reject that?
So we just in the beginning of this ideological revolution, because Putin wanted in the beginning to preserve Russian sovereignty, nothing else.
What leader should look for anything else?
Yes, but little by little he has discovered this seriousness of the situation, that the Western modernity now is in its
a satanic cabal. Let's just call it what it is. It's a satanic cabal, and he's recognized
that.
He said that in front of the United Nations General Assembly. He said this on a world stage, largely ignored, by the way, by the press. Unless you watch the Stu Peters Network, you would never know that Vladimir Putin is saying these things. But he has rejected the force of the one world governance that is fastly approaching and slaughtering everything in its way, including innocent children, children of God.
Yes, and what we see now, we are habituated, we consider this progressism with the eyes of progressists themselves. So yeah, we see this process as something, as the good development, the amelioration, more comfort, more goods, and so on. But if we stare, if we look at that, upon this process with the eyes of Christian, we see Antichrist, we see all the signs of Satan. So I think the people who are the leading power of the globalist movement are precisely the kind of servants of Satan, and they are maybe conscious, maybe not conscious, half conscious.
They're in league with Satan, whether they like it, know it, choose to admit it or not. That's who these people are, and they're doing the bidding of the devil himself. They are his minions.
Absolutely, because the modernity started with denial of existence of God and Satan, and now the Satan is back. But and Satan clearly manifests that was he who persuaded, who convinced the Western society and from Western South Europe, all the rest of humanity to believe that God doesn't exist. So, and now we have no God anymore, but we have Satan that has returned. And
I have like 4 minutes left here, Dr. Dugan, and I just gotta, there are millions of people that are going to view this interview. And I think that one of the most important things that I'd like for you to address, and I'm going to give you the floor here, the Western press is going to call me a Russian sympathizer. They're going to call me a Russian asset and a Russian propagandist. I'm the leading propagandist for Vladimir Putin in the United States. I'm a bought and paid for, you know, mouthpiece for the Kremlin. Absolutely not true. I've never met him, although I would be honored to, and I'd love to sit down with Mr. Putin. But the idea that Vladimir Putin with his KGB ties and the history there, to his ruthless dictatorship and the way that he rules over his people is contrary to the amount of support that is obvious that he gets. I watch his rallies. He has several hundred thousand people there. People love him. They're waving the flags. They're cheering him on. Similar to here, leading up to the election in 2020, you had 12 people showing up for a Joe Biden pedophile rally, and you had 65,000 people showing up at Donald Trump's rallies with another 40,000 waiting outside that couldn't get in and millions tuning in on live television. Can you speak to the popularity of President Putin and why you think it is the press's number one objective, controlled by Vanguard and BlackRock, and Rothschilds and the Zionist lobby, the globalist empire, the murderous regime that we're talking about? Why is it so important for Vladimir Putin to be framed as this boogeyman and to lock up President Trump and to demonize Stu Peters and my network and to silence you? Why is it so important for these people to make sure that Americans support a kinetic confrontation with Russia?
I think that American population, American support, American society is under hypnosis. It is manipulated by the globalists. And they fear that the real appeal of the truth, of the rebellion against satanic civilization, of appeal to return the traditional values, to save the families, to save the normality, to save the classical classical education, values, science, culture, all that could damage their absolute power. And I think that Putin is maybe inspired himself. He became the figure that many people of tradition, the people who reject this satanic globalist rule, they project on him their expectations. Mm-hmm. So he is symbolic. He is not just normal politician. We adore him, and the West, logically, not globalist, hates him. So if they hate, globalists hate Putin for what he is, and yeah. For what he is, we love him. The absolute majority of population. There are some, maybe 10% of our Russian population, maybe less, who share globalist agenda. They were educated during 90s. They are in favor of the globalism. But absolute majority, 90% of our people generally support this line, this direction of his rule. Maybe we have many objections against some details in his rule and his system, but generally, globally, we support him because he is right, and we love him precisely for what they hate him.
Well, nobody is perfect. Everyone has flaws. We all fall short of the glory of God every day. But from where we sit and just looking objectively, I mean, nobody's erected more gorgeous churches during their time as a leader, a world leader, than Vladimir Putin. We're not talking about ugly abominations here. We're talking about incredible places of worship. Nobody has defended their people more greatly, put the interests of their people first more greatly. These are just facts. And largely, the American press and the American people reject these facts because they have been brainwashed and propagandized and gaslit for so long. Dr. Dugan, I can't wait to shake your hand someday very soon. And I hope to do that by sometime at the end of November. We won't give away details, but we're looking forward to it. Your time here is extremely valued, and we really appreciate you being with us. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.